A reading from the Book of Wisdom. What man can know the intentions of God? Who can divine the will of the Lord? The reasonings of mortals are unsure, and our intentions unstable. For a perishable body presses down the soul, and this tent of clay weighs down the teeming mind. It is hard enough for us to work out what is on earth, laborious to know what lies within our reach. Who, then, can discover what is in the heavens? As for your intention, who could have learnt it, had you not granted wisdom, and sent your Holy Spirit from above? Thus the paths of those on earth been strengthened, and men being taught what pleases you, and saved by wisdom. The word of the Lord.
Thanks to be the Lord.
O Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to the next. O Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to the next. You turn men back into dust and say, "Go back, children of the earth." To your eyes, 1,000 years are like yesterday, come and gone, no more than a watch in the night. O Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to the next. You sweep us away like a dream, like grass which springs up in the morning. In the morning it springs up and flowers, by evening it withers and fades. O Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to the next. In the morning, fill us with your love. We shall exult and rejoice all our days. Let the favor of the Lord be upon us. Give success to the work of our hands. O Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to the next.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to Philemon. This is Paul writing, an old man now, and what is more, still a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for a child of mine, whose father I became while wearing these chains. I mean Onesimus. I am sending him back to you. And with him, I could say, a part of my own self. I should have liked to keep him with me. He could have been a substitute for you to help me while I am in the chains that the good news has brought me. However, I did not want to do anything without your consent. It would have been forcing your act of kindness, which should be spontaneous. I know you have been deprived of Onesimus for a time, but it was only so that you could have him back forever, not as a slave anymore, but something much better than a slave, a dear brother, especially dear to me, but how much more to you, as a blood brother as well as a brother in the Lord. So if all that we have in common means anything to you,
Welcome him as you would me. This is the word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds accompanied Jesus on his way, and he turned and spoke to them. If any man comes to me without hating his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, and his own life too, he cannot be my disciples. Anyone who does not carry his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And indeed, which of you here intending to build a tower would not first sit down and work out the cost to see if he had enough to complete it? Otherwise, if he laid the foundation and then found himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers would all start making fun of him and saying, "Here is a man who started to build and was unable to finish." Or again, what king marching to war against another king would not first sit down and consider whether with 10,000 men he could stand up to the other who had advanced against him with 20,000? If not, then while the other king was still a long way off, he would send envoys to sue for peace. So in the same way, none of you can be my disciple unless he gives up all his possessions. This is the gospel of the Lord. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, actually, it's not an easy gospel to explain. The context is, Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. It's a final journey. On his final journey, he says, what should be the nature of a disciple? Apparently, it seems very negative at the first sight. He says one has to hate his father, mother, wife, children, and everything. Can we say by hating all this can we follow Jesus? But the same Jesus says, love your father and mother, do not hate anyone. Don't you see it is a contradictory scene? Even he said, love your enemies. And today, the Gospel Luke, we read, he says, only by hating your father, mother, family, everything, you can follow me. Our first introductory song was Follow Me. Beautiful song. What can it be? In the Hebrew language, actually, they use only either yes or no. There is no neutral word. In the Greek, to hate means to give low priority. So Jesus was saying, don't give the first place, the higher priority to all this. So only put in second. That is the word meaning hate. And thereafter he says, if you want to follow me, take your cross and follow me. We all have our own crosses. In the church, on the altar, we have a cross. The back of the church, on the wall, we have a resurrected cross. Many of the people wear crosses. And some of the European countries, it is prohibited to show cross in public. And Jesus says, take your own cross. We have our own disease, our own personal problems. What Jesus says, take a courage to take your cross. Don't eliminate it. Don't destroy it. Ask Jesus to give the power to take our own crosses. Then he says, follow me, because that itself shows he is walking in front of us. So there is a person in front of us, walking in front of us to bear our cross. Therefore, we are not alone. In all our sorrows, all our difficulties, we are not alone. Take that courage. Secondly, what does it mean to take cross? If I speak this, the same word, take a cross, to a Jewish community, they will understand differently. To take cross means proclaim that you are my king. That is the first demand. To take cross means I proclaim you are my king, kingship. And secondly, to take cross means I surrender, totally surrender to you. That is the second meaning of take the cross. And the third meaning, to take cross means I proclaim whatever you teach, whatever you say. So to take cross means three-dimensional. That's why Jesus says, you take your cross and follow me means, I am there, I am your king. Don't look here and there. Proclaim whatever I have said and surrender totally to me. In order to take the cross, the first thing is that we need to hear his voice. He is our Father. It would be nice every day, take the Bible, read, maybe a couple of minutes, just to hear what the Lord says. And secondly, feel that somebody, Jesus, loves us. Sometimes we feel we are being abandoned. Nobody loves us. Take the cross means he is our father and we are the children. And we follow him. It also says, no too much possession, attachment to anything. Thereafter he says, calculate the cost. That is the last paragraph of the gospel. It says, you have to calculate what is to come. You have to plan your life. We need to plan our life with Jesus because he shares our cross. Dear friends, in short, what we should meditate today is that we should feel that there is somebody in front of us who bears our cross. And secondly, even if we fall down, he will come and take our cross and he will help us. And thirdly, don't ignore our own crosses, our own pain. And we have the courage because we are not alone. We are two people, Jesus and we are going the same path. We follow the same path. We follow the same person. We bear the same cross. That is our courage. Tomorrow on 5th September, we celebrate the feast of Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. A small, tiny lady who changed the world. She took the pain. She took the cross of other people, tried to bear the cross of other people in our families, societies, wherever. Let's pray to the Lord for that grace. Amen.